Hello and welcome to the Ultra High Net Worth Institute podcast. Each episode will bring you the voices of the ultra high net worth community's most experienced minds, as well as the change makers defining the next generation of wealth stewardship. The podcast includes conversations with the Institute's very own advisors, faculty, and membership. In conversation with me, your host, Russ Hayworth. Without further ado, let's dive into this episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the Ultra High Net Worth Institute podcast. And I'm absolutely delighted to be joined today by Steve Prostano. Steve, firstly, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Russ. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we are going to be talking our audience through an introduction to the Ultra High Net Worth Institute. Before we get on to that, though, I think it would be very helpful for you to provide an introduction to yourself, and then we can get into your role within the Institute and then more about the Institute itself.
Happy to. By way of background, I'm an attorney and a CPA, but over the last four decades, I've really focused my attention on designing and building a number of global and national multifamily offices and wealth and asset management platforms. Additionally, I've consulted and advised industry leaders and ultra high net worth families and family offices throughout my career. Today, I'm a partner in charge of the Family Advisory Services Practice and the Center for Private Business Owners at PKF O'Connor Davies, a national accounting firm and also part of PKF International. And in 2018, I founded the Ultra High Net Worth Institute, and today I'm the chairman and CEO.
Fantastic. So as we progress through this discussion, we're going to find out much more around the mission and purpose of the Institute. Before we get into that detail, I'd love to hear the story about how the Institute came to be and how you came to be the founder and chairman of the Ultra High Net Worth Institute.
Great. First, nothing was planned at all. It just grew organically, I want to say, on its own. In 2018, though, I was asked by the Family Wealth Report to organize the concluding panel at their Family Office Summit. And I brought together a group of professionals in the family wealth space that I've known for years, admired, and who each had just decades of experience in a variety of different business models in the financial services space. And what we wanted to discuss was whether or not there were any financial service business models out there today that were satisfying or fully satisfying the needs of the ultra high net worth family and family offices. And we had a great discussion, but we concluded that no one was fully satisfying the needs of the client segments, and that there were some great firms out there, that there are some better business models. But the bottom line was that the industry has been struggling when it came to the delivery of services to these clients. And when we opened up the discussion to the audience, you know, what we really ended up starting to focus on more and more was, you know, the confusion in the marketplace and the fact that these clients really don't understand the industry, these business models, what to expect, and the lack of transparency that we've seen over the years and that we still see within the financial service industry has compounded the situation for these clients. So after the Family Wealth Report event concluded, the panelists and I, who are now also the co-founders of the Institute, discussed a variety of things that we could do. And we recognized that there really was a gap in the family wealth space. There are many industry groups out there focused on family offices, you know, focused on family businesses, on the investment management industry, but there has not been one just focused on the family wealth space. And we also felt that we might be able to fill it and really focus on educating these clients and their advisors, which was an absolute priority based on the discussion we just had. We also discussed the other industry groups that were out there. And our feeling was that the families and advisors today were looking for a different model. In one sense, they were done with any type of pay to play, but they also seemed to have less time And when they choose to do something like going to a program, attending a conference or an event, it really needs to add value to them professionally and personally during that period of time. So we set out to build and announced the creation of a nonprofit think tank and learning exchange, which was critically important, we felt, you know, in this family wealth space. So we incorporated, filed for our 501c3 status, and in early 2019, we actually started to receive more and more inquiries from very senior, experienced thought leaders in this space who were just interested in what we were doing, getting involved, and really supporting the mission for the Institute, which was really exciting to see. And I think that the individuals that have been involved in the ultra high net worth and family office space for these 40 years, really know one another. And the common theme and common characteristics of this group is that they love this client segment. They love the challenges that the industry, you know, throws at them. And they really hope to be able to overcome them for the benefit of these clients. So that was exciting. And I want to say by the end of the first quarter in 2019, we probably had 60, you know, very senior professionals, operating executives, thought leaders who had joined the ranks to help us build out what would become the Institute today. And specifically today, I think we've actually assembled one of the most significant groups of thought leaders in the space. We have over 100 faculty members and advisory board members who are contributing on a daily basis and who are volunteers to the content, the programs, and events that we're producing. So it's been a very exciting time, but nothing was planned.
Yeah. No, and I guess as well with that, in terms of the timing, you mentioned it was sort of early 2019, and then obviously the whole world was impacted by a global pandemic. How did that impact what you were sort of doing with the Institute, and how did you react to that?
Well, I think the two areas it impacted the most were programs and events, because obviously, you know, we were going to be certainly doing in-person events as well as, you know, virtual events. But obviously that changed to, you know, all virtual events. But in one sense, as we've seen over the past 5 years, our membership is global. So no matter what we do or deliver, you know, it will always be hybrid. So if it is in person, there will always be a virtual, you know, component to it or opportunity for people to participate. And then, you know, as we designed our membership, if you will, offering and the benefits associated with it, we ended up, you know, delaying, you know, putting that out there, you know, to the industry probably until mid-2020. So we used that period of time to, if you will, kind of really think about what we'd be delivering, how we'd be delivering the content and programming, and really what we want to be when we grow up.
Fantastic. And you mentioned in the sort of initial description of how the Institute was founded that there's lots of people who are willing to support the mission of the Institute. Could you share more on what that mission is?
Sure. It's actually quite long, but I think the needs of the various constituents that we're trying to help, you know, are in need of a lot of help. But first and foremost, you know, educating and helping families just navigate the wealth management industry. That confusion in the marketplace, you know, to this day just stands out in my mind, and it's something we've been hearing about for decades. It's nothing new, but I don't think anyone has been able to really address it head on. And I think we have an opportunity to do that. Educating advisors and family offices on the best way that they can support and serve these families is critical. And providing that kind of intellectual framework, if you will, and an understanding of the content and what we've done and what I think most people know us for right now are the new 10 domains of family wealth. So that was one of the first, I think, contributions that we've made to the industry and, you know, has been, we've used it internally as our taxonomy and organizational structure for content programming, et cetera. We also, you know, first and foremost, will always be focused on providing, you know, just exceptional thought leadership, insights, resources. You know, every event, every program that we put on, we want people to be able to walk away with things that they can actually use in their, you know, businesses, their practices, and support families immediately. So there's always takeaways and tools and resources to support them. Then we have a grander scheme, if you will, and it's certainly promoting best practices and professional development. And I actually look at it as helping to transform the industry for the benefit of these clients. And lastly, and we've continually found in the surveys that we've done over the 5 years with our members, that our members are looking for this safe learning environment that allows for peer-to-peer intellectual exchange. And it ties to our membership and the senior level professional that we've attracted. And it allows them to, you know, utilize their time in the most effective and efficient way. And again, as I said before, you know, add value, hopefully, to both their professional and personal lives.
Yeah, I think one thing to point out as well is that in terms of the quality of the events that have been put on, in terms of ones I've been fortunate enough to attend, has been fantastic. And I think in one of them, I may be misquoting slightly, so apologies if I do, but I think it was Joe that said, we're not just a think tank, we're a think and do tank.
Absolutely.
And I think that really summed it up brilliantly, because that there's a lot to be said for thought leadership and sharing new ideas, but the Institute itself is very proactive in terms of trying to engage with industry professionals to expand on that. Would that be fair?
Absolutely. And I have to give credit where credit is due. It was Laurent Roux, who has been working with all of us for decades and has experienced, like many of us, different, you know, groups and organizations, and, you know, pushes us actually every day as a member of the advisory board and faculty to really do just that and to deliver something, not just pontificate on a daily basis.
Yeah, apologies to Laurent for misquoting him on that one. You've mentioned a couple of times around faculty and some of the kind of way that it's organized. Could you share some more on how the Institute is organized and what it is that you're focused on?
Sure. Well, we are a nonprofit, but we're also a group of volunteers, and each faculty member, advisory board member, you know, does sign faculty and advisory board charters. So we have agreements in place with everyone, but we're very much organized like a university. So, you know, in addition to kind of the staff functions like administration, marketing, finance, et cetera, you know, we have, you know, membership instead of admissions, and we have membership services. We have advancement. Our content and curriculum division is led by Jim Grubman. Kind of as a provost, and it's organized according to the 10 domains of family wealth. And each domain has a domain chair instead of a department head, and our faculty then report up to each of these domain chairs, and they're responsible for delivering content programming, etc. And then in general, if I could just maybe simplify what we're focused on, you know, it's four different areas. And content is one, so we are very much focused on generating original content, but also curating the best content. You know, we certainly don't believe we're the only game in town, and there are many people that are publishing incredible pieces that, you know, should be brought to the attention of our constituents and members. We're delivering programs and events through multiple mediums and formats. We think that appeal to our members really diverse kind of learning styles and interests. And again, which I mentioned previously, always trying to promote this idea of peer-to-peer intellectual exchange. So whether they're sitting in an in-person conference or they're in a study group that only has 10 people, or they're in a clinic with 20 people, or just a breakout session, you know, we want them to always feel as though those conversations they're having with those people just are adding value to them. Additionally, the third area that we're focused on is training, which we launched, advisor training that we launched in 2023. And we will be expanding that in 2024 and beyond. Currently, it's advisor training. We also expect to be expanding that into training for single family office executives and their staff, for example. And then lastly, it's just building the community of thought leaders, because we think that it's becoming a very powerful organization because of the senior level of our membership. And that in and of itself, we believe, can help with this idea of helping to transform the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, through the time that I've been involved with the Institute, that growth and that the growing of the minds that are sat around the table is very, very impressive. And that kind of brings me on to the question around your ambitions for the Institute for 2024 and beyond. You mentioned part of it, the time during the pandemic was to allow you to think about what you do when you grow up in terms of the Institute. But what does that look like for 2024 and beyond?
Sure. Obviously, you know, our priority will also always be to deliver and produce just exceptional thought leadership and programming. So we're holding ourselves, if you will, to a think tank standard in terms of everything we're delivering to our members and beyond. But very specifically, we're also hoping to continue to expand our programming to meet the individual needs of our membership, but also enhance some of the benefits that we're providing to them. So for example, in 2024, we're going to be launching an Emerging Leaders Mentoring Cohort, which will allow our enterprise member firms to identify emerging leaders within their organization to participate in this mentoring program. We also hope to be offering lifestyle events for their client families as another additional benefit. Another very important part of the organization is our strategic initiatives. And strategic initiatives help us in two different ways. Number one, they help us to hopefully achieve our mission in terms of this idea of transforming the industry. And then secondly, we hope they'll help us to evolve in the way that our membership and the industry is looking for this industry group to continue to grow. Several include the DEI initiative, which certainly will help us drive content and programs in that area, critically important area to us. Our single family office initiative, which has been in place and will be rolling out a variety of things associated with that. But it was really focused on helping us differentiate the offering for single family offices. Because as I said, there are a number of groups and organizations that are already serving them, and we don't need to replicate the wheel. We want to be complementary and fill the gaps, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then a real priority for the entire organization, and I think hopefully will be one of our next big contributions to the industry, is our Integrated Family Wealth Management Initiative. And through this initiative, what we're hoping to actually introduced this year, we hope to establish standards, industry standards for identifying and delivering integrated family wealth management services. The phrase, if you will, integrated wealth management services has been used since the mid-90s by everyone, regardless of business model. No one defines it. No one explains to the client exactly what it means for them, and the clients don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we are looking to force the industry to conform to a particular level of integrated family wealth management services, but back to the concept of just transparency. The clients need to know what they're getting before they sign up and what to expect throughout the process. So the deliverables here are going to include, you know, a glossary of terms and concepts, benchmarks, guidelines, tools, assessments to evaluate kind of conformance to these standards, you know, and the bottom line is it's all to assist families as they identify the service solutions that really align with their needs. So it's will be an exciting time for us as we, you know, move forward to roll this out. We think it's actually going to be probably an 18 to 24 month, you know, initiative that's ongoing, but definitely watch for that over the course of this year and beyond.
I think as well that that's a fantastic example again of the think and do attitude of the Institute, as opposed to it being we're putting out some thought leadership that's really interesting. It's acting upon that and encouraging others to act upon that, which is fantastic.
And the one more comment related to it and tying it into again a priority for just the future in general is this idea of building the community and this idea of a learning exchange. So at our symposium in 2024, November of 2024, we're going to be introducing drafts of variety of tools and the guidelines and assessments that the entire community is going to have an opportunity to opine on, provide their feedback on, and really discuss, you know, in depth. And that's what we really hope for just in general as it relates to these really important initiatives, you know, having the engagement that and the insights from our members and the community at large.
Yeah. And in terms of membership, who should be considering becoming a member of the Institute?
Sure. Advisors essentially serving the ultra high net worth client segments and family offices, including senior operating executives in both financial services and professional services, as well as single family office executives. And these individuals can join as what we call Leaders Council members, and or they can join at an enterprise or firm level, which provides a broader set of benefits to that firm. We also have a number of memberships for nonprofits and associations as well, but I would say primarily it's advisors, you know, serving the ultra high net worth segment.
Fantastic. And just to, again, highlight perhaps some of the fantastic work that's been done, what have been some of your personal highlights of your time involved with the Institute?
I think number one, I've been a builder over the course of my career. So certainly building the organization has been a highlight in general, and building it with just highly intelligent thought leaders and as volunteers is interesting. But maybe more importantly, it's been building this community of thought leaders and senior operating executives that really have come together to support the mission. And as I said before, you know, I think that there's real power in it that actually can help drive change. And everyone is so focused and prioritizes doing the best for their clients. It's just an energy you can't beat. And then just finally, the kind of passion, engagement, and intellectual exchange literally on a daily basis is absolutely amazing. And I think that it doesn't make a difference when you're on the, whether you're on the board of directors, faculty member, advisory board, or a member. It's one community. All of them include incredible thought leaders, operating executives, advisors, and to see people come together in the middle of the day while they're working, just really to have these dialogues with individuals that can enhance what they're doing is just been amazing. So I think it drives a lot of us to continue to support the mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just building on that and perhaps on the previous point about membership, it is key. You mentioned it earlier, but it's key to emphasize that this is a global community.
Absolutely.
As opposed to it being geographically centered on one particular area. And I think that adds to the depth of those conversations, particularly in the events, to have thoughts and ideas from across the globe as well.
No, absolutely. We all believe that the work that we're doing and the issues that the ultra high net worth families and family offices face are common across the globe. Obviously, there are cultural nuances, et cetera, and language differences and regulatory issues. But, you know, in general, we think that it's applicable to the globe. We've got a growing cohort in Australia, Canada, the UK, a lot of interest in Asia and Europe. We actually have several people in Africa, and we're committed to growing globally.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time for the Institute, and congratulations in terms of your vision and drive to help it come to fruition and become what it has been today. I know it's not just been you, but you're very much the spearhead of that, and it's very much appreciated by everybody within the Institute.
Thank you, and appreciate all the support that you've provided over the years to the Institute, and your involvement has been incredible. Thanks, Russ.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, and look forward to continuing our conversation another time.
Thanks, Russ.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to find out more about the Institute and their work, please head to uhnwinstitute.org. Until next time, take care.